Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're tackling a really big topic, climate change as an existential threat. And look, it can feel overwhelming, right? The sheer scale of it. Yeah. So our goal today isn't really to drown you in data points. It's more about pulling out the critical pieces from the materials we looked at to really get a handle on why people are calling this an existential threat. What does that actually mean for us?
Exactly. And the sources, well, they cover a huge range of impacts. But what really jumps out is how interconnected everything is. We're not talking about, you know, just one environmental issue over here and another over there. These things ripple through, well, everything, how our societies work, the natural world we rely on. Our mission today is sort of map out those connections.
Okay, let's start with the direct threats to human existence that the sources really focus on. Top of the list seems to be extreme weather. More frequent, more intense. We're talking heat waves, floods, droughts, stronger storms, cyclones. It's way more than just a bad weather report, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. The material we reviewed really stresses how these events just chip away at the stability we often, you know, take for granted. Take heat waves. It's not just about being uncomfortable. The sources detail serious impacts on health, especially for vulnerable people, older adults, kids, and also, surprisingly, big drops in productivity across the board.
Right.
Then you have floods. It's not only the immediate damage destroying homes, infrastructure. The sources point out that these often hit marginalized communities hardest. And that creates long-term instability, social, economic, stuff that can take years, even decades to fix.
Yeah, decades. And droughts. The reading really hammered home that this isn't just out in the countryside. When crops fail because the weather's changed or there's a long dry spell or new pests move in, well, that escalates really fast into a major food security issue for everyone.
Definitely. And connecting that to the bigger picture, it's not just land-based food. The sources also flag ocean acidification. That's basically the ocean soaking up tons of extra CO2 from the air, changes the water chemistry.
Making it harder for shellfish, corals.
Exactly. Harder for them to build their shells and skeletons. And that really messes with marine food chains, which hits fishing communities, our seafood supply. So yeah, potential food problems coming from, well, multiple directions, land and sea.
Which flows right into the next major point. The water crisis. The source talks about melting glaciers, which sounds distant, but it messes with river flows long term. Huge populations rely on those rivers.
That's the long view, yeah.
But then there's the more immediate stuff, too, like rainfall becoming totally unpredictable. So you get these intense shortages, but also massive floods sometimes in the same places.
Right, and the often overlooked problem.
Saltwater intrusion.
Exactly. In coastal areas, as sea levels rise or groundwater is overdrawn, salt water seeps into freshwater sources, contaminates them.
And these water threats are just so fundamental, aren't they? We need water for, well, everything.
Absolutely. The source material really underscores that. When water gets scarce in one area, it can really inflame existing tensions, you know, social, economic. And sadly, it can even become a spark for conflict.
It's not just resources under threat either. Our health is directly impacted too. Beyond just heat stroke from heat waves, the readings detail how diseases like malaria and dengue fever are spreading. Vector-borne diseases, yeah. Right, carried by insects like mosquitoes, ticks. Warmer temperatures mean they can survive in new places, expanding their range.
And on top of that, there's air pollution, mostly from burning fossil fuels, which is already a massive health issue. Climate change can actually make that worse, trapping pollutants, leading to more respiratory problems, asthma, things like that.
And it's important to see how these compound, right?
That's a key point in the sources, yes. These health impacts, they don't happen in isolation. They weaken communities, make people more vulnerable to other shocks like floods or food shortages, and it puts enormous strain on healthcare systems, which might already be stretched thin.
Okay, this leads us to something really stark and concerning in the materials, migration and conflict. The suggestion is, as disasters get more common, as resources like water and good farmland get scarcer, we're likely to see way more people forced from their homes, climate refugees.
Displacement on a potentially massive scale.
And the increased pressure, the competition for what's left, the sources suggest that could fuel more social unrest, even violence.
It's what some analysts call a threat multiplier.
A threat multiplier.
Yeah, climate change takes existing problems, poverty, inequality, resource scarcity, and just makes them worse, amplifies them. And that can lead to instability that, you know, doesn't respect borders. It becomes a global issue.
So that covers the heavy impacts on, well, us.
Yes.
Humans. But the sources also spend a lot of time on the destruction of ecosystems, the loss of biodiversity. And it's not just about feeling sad that a particular animal is gone, is it? It's more fundamental.
Not at all. The material we looked at really connects biodiversity loss to direct consequences for us. Think about coral reefs. They're like nurseries for so much marine life.
Right. So damage there affects fish stocks we eat.
Exactly. Or wildfires made worse by heat and drought. They destroy forests. Forests that we need to absorb carbon dioxide.
Uh-huh.
And then there's the less obvious stuff, but maybe even more critical. Disrupting the ecological balance affects things like pollination for our crops, natural pest control, even how clean our water is. These are basic services nature provides, and messing with them has real tangible costs.
Okay, now this is where things feel like they ratchet up another level.
Yeah.
Irreversible tipping points.
Yeah.
The source outlined several, and honestly, they sound incredibly serious. First up, the melting of the big ice sheets. Greenland, West Antarctica.
Yeah.
The idea that once you pass a certain point, it just keeps going, becomes unstoppable.
Pretty much, yeah.
Leading to potentially massive sea level rise, flooding coastal cities. The implications are just huge.
They really are. And the source emphasizes it's not necessarily a slow, steady melt after that point. It can become self-reinforcing. And the kind of sea level rise discussed would, well, it would redraw coastlines globally, displace hundreds of millions.
Wow. Okay. Then there's permafrost thaw. Places like Siberia, Alaska, northern Canada.
Mm-hmm.
The potential for releasing just enormous amounts of trapped carbon and methane. It's like opening a giant freezer door on greenhouse gases,
mm-hmm.
right? Which then speeds up the warming even more.
That's the perfect analogy. It creates this really dangerous feedback loop. Warmer world, more thought, more greenhouse gases released, even warmer world. It's a cycle that, once it really gets going, is incredibly hard to stop.
And the Amazon rainforest?
Yeah.
The source talks about the risk of it collapsing, maybe turning into more of a grassland.
That potential biome shift, yeah.
Releasing all that stored carbon, plus a catastrophic loss of biodiversity.
Yeah.
The scale of that change is hard to even picture.
It is. The Amazon is just pivotal. For the global carbon cycle, for weather patterns, biodiversity, losing it, or even a large part of it past a certain threshold, would have these cascading, irreversible impacts across the planet.
Okay. And the last big one mentioned is the Atlantic Meridional Overturning Circulation. The AMOC.
Right, the ocean current system.
The source explains it. Basically like a giant conveyor belt in the ocean, moving heat around the globe.
Yeah, that's a good way to think about it.
And if that slows down significantly, it could cause massive disruptive shifts in weather.
Yeah, potentially cooling around the North Atlantic, bizarrely, while maybe causing more warming elsewhere. Big shifts in rainfall patterns, too.
So the crucial thing with all these tipping points, as the source stresses,
is that they represent thresholds, points of no return, essentially, on human timescales. Once we cross them, the resulting changes are likely locked in. We lose the ability to steer things back.
We can't just, you know, hit undo.
Exactly. And what's really concerning, something the source emphasizes, is that these tipping points might be linked. Hitting one could make it more likely we hit another, like a row of dominoes falling, a cascade of irreversible change.
Right. Okay. So when you pull it all together, the direct threats to our lives and health, the food and water crises, the destruction of the natural systems that literally support us, and then these potential tipping points that could fundamentally change the planet forever, it becomes much, much clearer why this is framed as an existential threat.
It really does.
It's not one single problem, is it? It's this tangled web of crises.
A web threatening the very foundations of, well, life as we know it. Precisely. The material we've gone through, it really highlights the potential for a complete breakdown of our essential life support systems. You know, reliable access to food, clean water, stable weather, functioning ecosystems. These aren't just environmental issues. They are fundamental threats to human civilization continuing and to life thriving on Earth.
So, reflecting on this whole deep dive, I think the key thing is that interconnectedness, how all these threats feed into each other, and the terrifying potential of those tipping points triggering cascades. It's not just gradual change anymore. It's the risk of these abrupt, irreversible shifts in the whole Earth system, which leaves us and you with a really profound question, I think. When you consider these deep links and what it means to potentially cross multiple points of no return, what does real global cooperation, what do truly sustainable practices actually look like in response to something this huge? What does it demand of us? Definitely a sobering thought, but maybe a necessary one for all of us to grapple with.